Hello and welcome to the Baseball America Draft Podcast. I'm Carlos Collazo, joined by Peter Flaherty on the eve of the NCAA tournament. Peter, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Not much. It's kind of like a similar feeling to the night before opening day, in a sense, where it's like Christmas Eve. It is such a fun time of year. There are going to be so many games going on really at any time of day for the next few weeks. And not to mention just the sheer amount of games. You also have so many fun draft prospects to be able to watch and fun storylines. So no matter who you're a fan of, whether it's a team or a player, this is a very, very fun time of year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I like the way that Teddy described it today in his piece, looking at 10 intriguing players in the NCAA tournament. He said it's a bit like drinking out of a fire hose just because of the amount of games that you have to watch. So it's plenty to take in. And like you said, if you're a fan of the just competitive team nature of the event, it's got the sort of March Madness vibes from the basketball tournament, but with baseball, so it's even better. And then we have, I think the total number is 179 prospects who are ranked on the BA 500 that just rolled out this week in these regionals. So there's no shortage of talented teams, talented prospects. If you are a college baseball fan, you're going to watch this regardless. If you're more of a draft fan or a prospects fan, there's plenty to be interested in that as well. I feel like we could talk through some of the regionals, maybe go through all of the regionals and just briefly talk about some of the top prospects. I have a piece on the site right now that you can read if you want to see every single prospect that's ranked on our 500 taking part in these regionals. And if you want to just kind of settle into a regional that has maybe the most prospects, you can do that as well. Maybe you won't be watching the Lexington regional as much, but there's certainly interesting players wherever you want to touch base with.
Yeah, no, that sounds like a great plan. And like you said, no matter what regional you look at, maybe some more than others, there are a handful of draft prospects, both for this year, 2025, and even 2026 in a few cases.
Well, before we get into it, was there like a specific regional that jumped out to you? This can be in terms of draft prospects or just in terms of like the competitive nature. I know a lot of people are talking about the Tucson regional as maybe the group of death at this point, just with the quality teams you have there with Arizona, DBU, West Virginia, and Grand Canyon as a really tough four seed. What were your initial thoughts once the regionals were released?
So that one immediately jumped out at me as like, whoa, this is the toughest one, because all four teams, I think, have a legitimate chance to win that regional. Grand Canyon, if you remember, they beat Arizona twice over the course of the regular season, once very, very handily. And then West Virginia has had a solid Big 12 campaign. Dallas Baptist was a team that I was a little surprised didn't end up as a host. They had a strong regular season. Their metrics under the hood were really solid, and they just won the Conference USA tournament championship, which I thought, kind of like Duke winning the ACC, put them over the edge. So that one is a ultra competitive regional. Stillwater with Oklahoma State hosting is also very competitive with Nebraska and Florida, the 2 and the 3 respectively. And Niagara is a 4. They can really swing it. And Obrate Stadium is a notorious launch pad. So I think they could surprise some people. Not saying they would win it or even win a game, but I think that they're going to give Oklahoma State all it can handle. So I could keep going on and on about all 16 regional sites, but it's going to be a blast.
The first one that jumped out to me was the Greenville regional, just because between Wake Forest and ECU, you have a chance for 4 of the first 15 players off the board. I'm not sure if the pitching, the TBDs for, or the probables for pitchers have been announced yet, but if we get a Chase Burns, Trey Savage matchup, that would be amazing. You've got Nick Kurtz, Seaver King, who both should be pretty locked in first rounders, and then you got plenty more in terms of depth. But if you're looking at just like top end draft star power, I don't think you could really go wrong with that one. I think in terms of number of like definite first rounders, that's probably your best bet.
I was going to say, when you isolate to the top 20 and really just the top half of the first round, that's probably where you're going to find the most amount of guys that fit that criteria, maybe even Knoxville. And then I can't help but notice, just like probably everyone else did, the fact that it's even a possibility that we have a Chase Burns Tennessee matchup at Lindsey Nelson Stadium in a super regional like that. That has me fired up. I'm not rooting for anyone and I'm not pulling for any particular team, but I wouldn't be disappointed if Wake wins this regional and Tennessee wins theirs and we have that matchup, because that would be like, I'd almost just drive down and watch that. That's how that's how fired up I'd be for it.
Yeah, that would be a ton of fun. Just, I mean, with how animated Chase Burns is on the mound in general, I can't imagine the super regional matchup with his former team, the sort of emotions and chippiness that could potentially come from that. I mean, both these teams feel like they're pretty animated in general too, in addition to just being two of the most purely talented teams in the field. But let's kind of walk through these regionals. Peter, we can either like pick out regionals you want to go through. We can go by overall seed, or we can go down the list in terms of like prospect capital. Direction do you think would be the best way to go?
I think any direction. Like, there are in sticking in like the first round kind of theme, or like overall depth, Tucson, just given the competitiveness again of all four teams in there, in all four, whether it be 2024, 2025 or 2026, like they all have a handful of high end draft prospects. Like with Arizona, you have Mason White, a potential first rounder in 2025, DBU, Ryan Johnson, a potential first rounder, comp round type guy this year. West Virginia has JJ Weatherholt, who when healthy, he like fits in that 1-1 argument. And there's an argument to be made right now that he, along with Travis Bazana, they're the two best pure hitters in the country. And there's a world in which JJ Weatherholt is also like, he might have the slight edge over Bazana when it comes to a pure hit tool. Like, he has been nothing but dominant when healthy. And Grand Canyon, they have a really exciting left-hander in the 2025 class, Grant Richardson. First baseman Zach York is a very unique profile, but he can really, really hit. And then 2026, they have a super exciting freshman right-hander, Connor Madison, borderline double plus changeup already, needs to add kind of a viable third pitch, but he's another fun player. So that regional is exciting for more reasons than one.
Absolutely. We got three top 100 prospects in that regional between Weatherholt, who's ranked four, Ryan Johnson at 48, and Aiden Major. A lot of really quality pitching in this regional overall. Even like number 500 on our draft board, Derek Clark, left-handed pitcher at West Virginia. He's not the biggest guy, doesn't have the most stuff, but he's a lot of fun to watch pitch. He's very competitive. He's had a really strong season. I'll be curious to see what Daniel Avidia looks like. He has not had the greatest season, but he's a guy who we started off pretty high with the sort of command control reputation of a Josh Hartle. It's just not been a great year for the command control oriented pitchers in this class, it seems like, but tons of arms in this one.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. And with Derek Clark, like, that's a guy where if you turn it on and he's starting, like, he will go at least seven. Like, I think that's almost a lock. Unless he gets absolutely racked, he will go seven plus and maybe even finish it out. So he is an innings eater to the nth degree. And like you said, he's a whole lot of fun to watch pitch. Like, he doesn't really have a ton of stuff, but sequences his pitches really well, has advanced feel for everything, plus command and control kind of guy, little bit of an old-fashioned type of bulldog arm.
All right, let's go to the Clemson regional, which is tied for first in terms of number of BA 500 prospects. There's 16 different prospects in this regional on the BA 500 just for this year's class, but these teams have really, or a lot of these teams have really intriguing underclassmen as well, as you'd expect from programs like Clemson, Vanderbilt, Coastal. But the highest ranked prospect in this one is Bryce Cunningham at number 39. A little bit surprising, actually, that of all these teams, 39 is the highest, but you've got other intriguing pitchers in the top 100, like Carter Holton, left-handed pitcher at Vanderbilt, Tristan Smith, another lefty at Clemson, and then some intriguing athletes further down the board. Will Taylor has maybe still not had the season everyone has really been hoping for him to have, just given his tool set. I think he's still kind of trying to figure things out. And you got a guy like Sam Antonacci with Coastal Carolina who really controls his zone well. Blake Barthol has gone off. So in terms of depth, like Clemson, you really can't beat it unless you're looking at the Chapel Hill regional. But who are you intrigued about with this Clemson regional?
You hit on the two main ones, like seeing how Bryce Cunningham and Carter Holton throw in a potential matchup with Clemson. I think that's really exciting. And then we won't see Will Taylor. He's out for the year with a broken wrist. I think maybe on a broadcast they said that he might come back, but I'd be surprised if they push it with him. And then the two guys that I might be most excited about watching in this regional are 2025 draft prospects in Cam Cannarella for Clemson and Caden Bodine for Coastal Carolina. Cannarella is a super athletic center fielder who's put together a pretty impressive track record with the bat. And then with Caden Bodine, he's far and away the best pure hitting catcher in that 2025 class. The feel for the barrel from both sides of the plate is exceptional. He can really, really catch. He turned it on later in the year. I would say that he's a lock to be on Team USA at this point. And those are two guys that could end up potentially going in the top 15 to 20 overall picks in the 2025 draft. So while I'll be really excited to see how Holton Cunningham, Tristan Smith, et cetera, all do, I will be even more excited to see how those two guys do.
Yeah. I mean, there's always a pitcher or two or a handful of pitchers who use the NCAA tournament as just a jumping pad or a launch pad for their draft stock. I think there are a lot of teams that are looking around at the back of the first round and hoping there's a college pitcher that is appealing to them. I wonder if Bryce Cunningham is a guy who could move into that range. He's had a really strong year. His first season as a full-time starter, 4.20 ERA, 15 starts, 79 innings, 27.6% strikeout rate, solid walk rate at 9.1%, big physical, 6'5", 230 pounds or so, fastball up into the upper 90s. Solid slider that's been a good swing and miss offering. So if he just posts really strong, I could see him moving up boards and being an impactful draft name to keep an eye on. Obviously the top ranked guy in the regional.
Yeah, there are a handful of guys in that, I don't know, 36 to 50-ish range who, like you said, could really use the tournament as a launching pad, because if their respective teams go on a deep run to Omaha or potentially even win the College World Series, they're probably going to be at the forefront of it. Like Luke Holman with LSU, Bryce Cunningham, as you mentioned, Gerangelo Sinte at Mississippi State, Drew Beam, Ryan Johnson, even like those are guys where if those clubs go on a run, like they're not going to be able to do it without at least a couple of quality starts from those aforementioned arms. So that's a storyline to watch as well, I think.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the Chapel Hill Regional. A lot of star power in this regional. LSU is a team that's coming into this tournament really hot. I know it's a favorite club for Teddy, at least when he was breaking down the NCAA tournament on the Foul Territory Hot Sheet BA show on YouTube. If you haven't seen that, I would check that out. But LSU is the team that has the most players on our BA 500, so they're doing a lot of the carrying in terms of the quantity of talent at this regional. But Vance Honeycutt is a top-ranked player. Both him and Tommy White in the same regional should lead to a lot of explosives, both in terms of home runs and just athleticism and excitement from Vance Honeycutt's perspective. But also, not really a homecoming, but a return of Tommy White to North Carolina after spending his first season with NC State. This will be an area he's pretty familiar with. I don't think that really has much to do with anything in terms of performance, but kind of a cool storyline for top 100 players between those two, Luke Holman and Gage Jump, who have both been pretty tremendous for LSU fronting that rotation down the stretch. Another player that I'm really intrigued by in this one is going to be Casey Cook at North Carolina, who had shockingly more power production this year than I was expecting when I looked up at the end of the season. Really, this whole North Carolina team has pretty impressive power numbers throughout the lineup. So this will be a fun one.
Yeah, without a doubt. And you mentioned like the high end prospects are very, very high end. Like Honeycutt is top half of the first round or more than likely. Tommy White, probably a back end of the first round type of guy. And sticking in the theme of talking about underclassmen to keep an eye on as well, Luke Stevenson at North Carolina is maybe the guy to watch. He's sophomore eligible in 2025, really impressive skill set behind the plate, arm is plus, the catch and throw skills are really impressive, receiving is very polished. He is a catcher to watch, and he's a guy that could end up as a potential first rounder in 25 as a sophomore eligible, as a draft eligible sophomore. Steven Milam on LSU has put together a really impressive true freshman campaign. And then the team that I'm like most intrigued by, and this is more along the lines of how much noise they could make, is Wofford. Like they rake offensively. They rank inside, I think, the top 10 nationally in a handful of pretty major statistics. And they play a little bit of a Kentucky-ish style where they aren't afraid to play small. They play really fast. They push the pace on opposing defenses and teams. And I think that they're going to cause a lot of problems, and they have pitching depth as well on the mound mm-hmm. that I think is very conducive to a potential Cinderella run. They didn't really play anyone in the regular season, so we'll find out really fast how they stack up against some pretty stiff competition. But Marshall Tools, the guy to watch from a draft perspective from Wofford,
yep.
hitting .383 with a nation-leading 10 triples, 9 home runs, 42 of 45 in stolen base attempts, like legit plus runner, knows how to run, which makes him all the more effective. And he's a spark plug center fielder with advanced feel for the barrel. So he's a fun guy to keep tabs on.
Yeah, no shortage of names here. All right, let's move on to the Stillwater Regional. This is checking in tied for third, Stillwater and Knoxville for 14 players overall. Jack Caglione is the headliner here, ranked number 7 overall for Florida. 3 top 100 prospects in this regional. We got Carson Benj, who's just had a tremendous season. I feel like he's pretty established as a solid locked in first rounder at this stage. Colby Shelton, shortstop at Florida, power hitting, kind of power over hit, middle infielder in the SEC who's got performance. And then you got a lot of intriguing arms with Oklahoma State. Brian Holiday has posted and just been super consistent with great strike throwing ability. Jansen Keisel has really intriguing release point and just a bit of deception and stuff. And hasn't put it fully together in terms of strikes. And then you've got some intriguing names like Pierce Coppola, Brandon Neely. I could go on, but what are your thoughts on this one, Peter?
Yeah, another really loaded one, and it's not shocking that the regionals that have the most parity, like this one in Tucson, there are a couple others here that are going to be really competitive, but that they also have the highest volume of draft guys. You hit on it with Benj and Caglione and Brian Holiday for Oklahoma State as well, Brandon Neely, like, you hit on the main guys. Nebraska, the one guy I think who everyone should watch really closely is catcher Josh Caron. He's hitting really, really well. He was unconscious in the Big Ten tournament. I think he set a single tournament record with 6 home runs. The contact skills with him are really, really impressive. He's got a solid defensive skill set behind the plate. I think this year I think he's running like an in zone contact rate of 87. He's got a max exit velocity of close to 115 miles an hour. Like, the impact is very, very real. And from a draft perspective, he's probably a little slept on, but he's a guy that could end up going as high as the top 5 to 7 or so rounds, maybe even a little higher than that, should he keep swinging it well against some quality competition.
Yeah, he's a guy who snuck into the back of the BA 500, but with a solid performance, there's no reason to think he can't keep moving up. So, that's Stillwater. Let's move on to Knoxville. This is basically the Tennessee regional in terms of draft capital. I mean, the top-ranked player is Billy Amick. After that, it's basically the entirety of Tennessee's lineup, plus Drew Beam in terms of top 100 prospects. There are 5 different top 100 prospects from Tennessee, including Christian Moore, Beam, who I mentioned, Blake Burke, and Dylan Dreiling. You've been a big fan of Dylan for a long time, but both Moore and Burke are super helium, up arrow, buzzy names at this point. Like, it wouldn't shock me if Christian Moore wound up being a top 20 player in this draft on draft day, which, I mean, I really like his swing, but I don't think that many people expected that entering the year. He's just had a tremendous season and really has never had a bad offensive year with Tennessee, so he'll be a hitter to watch. Blake Burke has just monstrous raw power and has also had a great season. I mean, it really feels like everyone in this Tennessee lineup has had a strong season. They're one of the best lineups in college baseball, the number one ranked team for a reason. But outside of Tennessee players, Peter, who should we be keeping an eye on in the Knoxville regional?
Yeah, it's kind of the Tennessee show, but Connor Foley on Indiana's one. Big, really physical and athletic right-hander. He's actually recruited to play football a little bit at a high school. Super athletic on the mound. It's big time stuff. The strikes have sometimes been an issue, but the upside is there. And when you talk about balls of clay that an organization is going to be excited to get their hands on, like, Foley's that. He's athletic. I said, you know, he's 6'5", 225. The body is there. He's still a little bit raw, where, you know, there's still some upside there. And I think that the chance for him to start at the professional level, like, that has only improved as the season has gone on, and the stuff is very, very real. So with a couple of low hanging fruit, mechanical tweaks and polishing up the strike throwing ability, he's got a chance to be a monster. So I think right now he's a third to fifth or so round type guy. And then also on Indiana for next year, but keep an eye on Devin Taylor, outfielder. He's done nothing but hit since arriving on campus. It's plus power that he's got no trouble getting to in game, big time bat speed. That's a guy, when you think about the potential first handful of college bats off the board next year, it's eons away, but right now he absolutely fits in that conversation. And them against Southern Miss is going to be a fun matchup. Southern Miss can really, really pitch. I think from a draft standpoint, I don't know if he's even going to throw, because the situations in which they've used him have been a little lower leverage, but JB Middleton probably has the livest arm and the best stuff on that staff. It's unbelievable stuff. Again, though, it's just lack of strike throwing has done him in at times. And then for this year, Nico Mazza is a name to keep an eye on. He's a more of a under the radar ish type guy, but he could fit somewhere on day three, potentially even later on day two. But those are the main ones.
Yeah, another name I'm intrigued by is Dalton McIntyre with Southern Miss. He doesn't really have the stolen base numbers to support it, but he's a pretty elite runner. So he could be kind of a spark plug type that's fun to see if he gets on base and just pressuring defenses. He's had a really strong offensive season as well. So maybe another one to watch. All right, keeping it moving here, we'll go into the Raleigh regional. If you like catchers, maybe this is the regional where you can kind of focus on in the early days of the tournament. The only players ranked in the top 200 are catchers from NC State and Jacob Cozart, who's ranked number 44, and then Cole Messina at South Carolina, ranked number 71. And I even feel like that still might be light for Cole Messina, who has just gone nuclear this season for South Carolina. He's been trending up significantly. He had a great SEC tournament showing. Really big. Both these guys are kind of big, bulkier catchers, but especially Messina, and maybe power over hit players. But if you think they can both stick behind the plate, it's a really appealing package of raw tools. I think Messina's defense is probably a little bit further along than Cozart, but I'm pretty high in Cozart defensively as well, maybe higher than the industry as a whole at this point. And then with South Carolina, while Messina is maybe the biggest obvious name, they have a ton of players in terms of depth throughout this list. They've got five players ranked in the 300 to 400 range, with Roman Kimball, Tyler Dean, Chris Veach, Kennedy Jones, and Matthew Becker. But what else are you looking at in this regional?
Yeah, the two catchers for starters. You want to talk about a guy that's already made himself, I'd say, a lot of money from the last couple of weeks, and it's Cole Messina. Went absolutely nuclear at the SEC tournament. I don't know for a fact from where he stands, like from a breaking record standpoint in SEC tournament, but RBI-wise, he had to have been up there. He's now hitting right about 330 with 19 doubles, 20 jacks. He's a sneaky athlete for someone of his build and size. The power is very, very real. That's a guy that has a big fat up arrow next to his name. It's not a secret that I'm not the biggest Jacob Cozart guy. Like, I don't know. I think that the industry is pretty split on him. Like, you talk to people that really, really like him, and he's some people's first or second or third catcher off the board and fits in the first round. But there are others who are pretty out on him. Like, I don't know. I just, from a tool standpoint, like, what does he have? I get that the defensive skill set is polished and, you know, there's some arm strength there, but I just worry a little bit about the offensive profile. Like, this could be a really, really harsh ding, but he's like a third to fourth round type of guy for me. Which is way, way lower.
Well, I think there are definitely some people have him in that third round range. I've talked to some, like, I'm not sure how many people view him as a first rounder at this stage. He's definitely tracked down from that range on our board from where he initially started him out. And I know there are real questions about, like, the pure hit tool. He's a career 281 hitter in three seasons with NC State, with the only year he was hitting over 300 was in 2023 when it was just 301. So I think there are some real concerns about just how he does it. But for me, I like the raw power, I like the arm strength, and I like the receiving ability. But I don't think you're really off base there.
Right. And that's all totally understandable. I don't know. I've just never been able to get all the way in. But also with South Carolina, 2025, Ethan Petrie is one to watch. Like, he's a famous name. And not to make this the 2025 draft centric show. I don't know. I'd like to see more. I'm not all the way in on Petrie either. Not to get too far into it, but I'd like to see him make some noise against some high level talent. And then with JMU, keep an eye on Fenwick Trimble. If JMU is going to make some noise, Fenwick Trimble is going to be probably at the center of it. He's an outfielder, really good body at 6'3", 200. He's a good athlete with tools. He can swing it. He's a guy that I have circled as someone who, when people come away from watching this regional, you know, Fenwick Trimble could end up being a somewhat of a household name, at least among the diehard viewers of that Raleigh regional, like NC State fans who come away being like, man, that Fenwick Trimble kid's legit, or the South Carolina fans will have a similar sentiment. So he's someone that I've circled.
Yeah. Well, after banging on my guy Cozard and having some skepticism with Petrie, let's move on to a regional that I know has some, a player that I don't think is in the range to count as a personal cheese ball anymore, but he at least previously was for you. And I know you love this player, but that's the Tallahassee regional, the top ranked player in this quad of teams, James Tibbs, number 13 overall at FSU. Peter, you're all the way in on his hit tool. His teammate Cam Smith ranks right behind him. And in terms of other top 100 players in this group, it's Ben Hess, the right-handed pitcher at Alabama, who I would circle as another pitcher who, if he has a really strong showing here in these next few weeks, depending on how many starts he's able to get, people just love the physique, love the pure stuff, but really haven't seen him put it all together enough. So I think he's got a chance to really cement himself inside the first round. Right now we've got him ranked kind of on the fringe. But yeah, tell me more about Tibbs. Why should people be excited to see him? Then any other players you want to highlight from Tallahassee?
Yeah. So as you said, I'm all the way in on Tibbs. I keep drinking the Kool-Aid, maybe to a dangerous point. I'm now at the point where I'd take him inside the top 10. Like, what is the difference between him and Nick Kurtz? I know I posed that question when we were, I think, going through maybe our staff draft, but they're a lot closer than people think. And I wouldn't be surprised at all to see someone pull the trigger on him inside the top 10. Again, that's based on nothing. Like, I don't have any intel to suggest that, but it's a gut feel. Like, for me, it's plus hit, it's plus power. I got a good look at him in the outfield in the summer with Brewster on the Cape, and he's not a primo athlete by any stretch. Like, he's not a freaky athlete, but he moves well enough to the point where I think he could handle himself in right field. I know early in the season, the defense was a little shoddy. He took the scenic route to fly balls at times, but it's plus arm strength for me. At the very least, it's a strong 55, and I really, really like the swing. Like, he's a super strong bodied kid, but it's a compact, explosive operation with legit hand and bat speed. When trying to find a wart in his profile, I really, really struggle to find it. And I really, really struggle to do so. So for me, I know we have him very, very well represented right now at 13, and that's a perfect range.
You're still taking me over.
I'm taking him inside the top 10. If I'm picking in that, I don't know, 7 to 10 range, I'd be perfectly comfortable taking him there. I think he's an eventual impact bat at the major league level. I'm a big fan of his.
Awesome. Well, I'll just also mention Gage Miller as a player to watch, third baseman with Alabama. He's had a phenomenal season, so just keep an eye on him. We'll keep it moving just so we can try and get through all these regionals before we have to get out of here. We'll skip over Greenville, which is the next regional in terms of quantity of players. We already mentioned that. But the Fayetteville regional has potentially the best pitching prospect in the class, throwing Hagen Smith, ranked number 3 overall, left-hand pitcher at Arkansas. Arkansas in general just has a phenomenal pitching staff, one of the best in the country. The other top 100 ranked player in this regional is Kalen Culpepper. And then you got Tyson Neighbors just outside of that at 101. Who else do you want to highlight here in this regional, Peter?
Yeah, if you like pitching, you'll love this one. Just watching Arkansas, the best pitching staff in the country. They lead the nation with an ERA just over 3.6. Like, they have the three-headed monster of Hagen Smith, Brady Tiger, Mason Molina, Hagen Smith, obviously, though, is the guy, not only on that staff, but maybe when talking about pitchers in general in this year's draft. Mm-hmm. Kalen Culpepper, I like him. I've liked him a little less just as the season's progressed. I'm just trying to figure out what's there maybe from a tools perspective. I think he's really good at a lot of things. Like, what is he great at? But he'll still go in a really solid range in the draft. And then a couple of sleeper guys to keep an eye on at Louisiana Tech. Reliever Sam Broderson has big time stuff. A little bit of a data darling, so to speak. Like, for model teams, he's someone that I think is a candidate to go potentially even on day two. I know the age is a little concerning, but I mean, he's a guy. And then also Cole McConnell, center fielder, having a really, really great year from a production standpoint. And then also Ethan Bates, two-way player. I think he has 35 appearances on the mound, and then he's also got 17 jacks and is hitting 345. So, And then one more guy for K-State, second baseman Brady Day. It's performance over tools, but he'll really, really perform. He can swing it. So that's all I've got.
Awesome. Well, let's keep it moving. We'll go to the Corvallis Regional. This is Oregon State, UC Irvine, Nicholls State, and Tulane. If Knoxville was the Tennessee Regional, this regional is basically the Oregon State show. We've got six players who are kind of all the headliners for prospects from Oregon State, headlined by Travis Bezzana, who is the lone top 100 ranked player in this class, number two overall. Definitely candidate to go 1-1. Peter's 1-1, of course, as you all know, listening to this podcast. And then I think both Aiden May and Bridger Holmes have done a really nice job improving their stock. Both are risers on the board, potential day two guys. Aiden May wouldn't even shock me if he pushed into day one with solid performance. And then another guy I'll highlight maybe towards the bottom for Tulane is Brady Margit, first baseman for that club. Huge physical frame, good raw power, maybe less in-game power throughout his career than you'd expect, but he's a guy who makes a ton of contact and has a pretty low strikeout rate for his size. So he's a really intriguing hitter that we have in kind of the day three range. But those are the guys I'd highlight.
Yeah, good call on Margit at Tulane. He was someone when I was just researching Tulane in general, he stood out to me, did some digging. That's a good call on him. I've talked at length about Bezzana, probably more than people care to hear about. So we don't need to talk about him at all. But like Lo said, my personal 1-1, Aiden May has been nailed since returning from an injury. Fastball slider combination is outstanding, especially that sweeper. It's a comfortably a plus offering. Gavin Turley's a tooled out 2025, maybe the most tooled out college hitter in that 25 class. When he puts it all together, it is really, really special. And then Bridger Holmes is 24 eligible and a data darling type of arm that I highlighted a little while ago. He's up to, I think, 92, 93, maybe even 94 from a really tough, extremely low sidearm, borderline submarine slot, and he mixes in a lethal sweeping slider that is extremely high spin, has sharp lateral tilt, and I think it's averaged over 21 inches of sweep, where his two-seam fastball averaged over 20 inches of run. So it's a really interesting east-west profile. And then with UC Irvine, Anthony Martinez is the headliner. He's not eligible until 25, but from a pure hit standpoint,
we've got like a couple of big physical, bulky, pure hitting first basemen in this to watch. I think Martinez is certainly the more prominent name, but it's fun that there are multiple of this profile.
Oh, big time. Yeah. Martinez rakes the hit tools plus. There's power there. Again, a very interesting profile, just given the body type. You're going to have to really believe in the offense, but he's made people believe to this point, so he's a fun one. And then with Nicholls State, also 25, Jacob Mayers, big time arm talent with thunderous stuff. Just the command and control have been below average. So with him, like the biggest concern is strikes, and when he's around the strike zone, and you'll be able to tell pretty quickly if he'll have it that night. He'll look as impressive potentially as any arm in that regional. He's just going to be competitive around the zone.
Yeah, so a lot to watch in this one. Let's move on to Athens, maybe one of the most top-heavy regionals of them all. Charlie Condon, the number one prospect in the class for us, is obviously in this one. Then you have to go all the way down to the 190s on our board to get to Peyton Green and Corey Collins, the only two other top 200 players in this for Georgia Tech and Georgia specifically. I think the Georgia-Georgia Tech pairing is just going to be interesting no matter the year, no matter the draft talent. Just having those two teams battling it out will be fun. But Collins specifically is a player who has really done a nice job sort of reclaiming his prospect status. He was a high-profile high school player that never really put everything together offensively, has had a tremendous season. I think he's put himself into that kind of priority senior bucket where he will be drafted early, might save a team some money, but he's also going to be not in the range of like purely money-saving players because he's got real tools, real power, real patience at the plate. But those are the guys I'll highlight. Who else you got here, Peter?
Yeah, with UNCW, really, there are a lot of underclassmen that excite me, but for 24 guys with UNCW and any other team in the region, RJ Sales, right-handed pitcher, he's put together a solid season for the Seahawks. Cameron Hill from Georgia Tech. I know that the back of the baseball card won't really wow anyone, but he was dominant last summer on the Cape League, won Cape League Pitcher of the Year. Great frame at 6'5", 6'6", with room to add some physicality. I don't know what role they'll use him in this regional, especially in such an offensive-oriented environment, but he's got, I don't know, top 5 to 7 or so round upside if a team really believes in it. And then with Army, Sam Root is an intriguing guy to keep a name on. I'm not sure where he fits in from a draft perspective. I know it gets a little murky and confusing when talking about service academy guys, but he's their best prospect for sure. And then with 25s and 26s, like, this regional is very, very stacked. Like, Georgia has right-hander Colton Smith, who's been excellent this year. Trey Phelps has exploded during SEC play. And then with UNCW, Tanner Thatch has big time raw power, comfortably plus. He can, you know, the hit tool is also coming along as well. And then Georgia Tech's got Drew Burris, the potentially outside of Condon, like you said, like the headliner of the regional. So that one I think will be a lot of fun. And if you were a fan of Slugfest,
yeah, offense fire happening to this one.
Oh yeah, like, this is the regional to tune into.
All right, we'll keep it moving here. We're getting close to the end. We've got the Charlottesville Regional up next. If Athens is top-heavy, I think the Charlottesville Regional has actually got pretty strong depth. There are a lot of prospects that are going to go in the 2 to 6 round range in this regional between Virginia, Mississippi State, St. John's, and Penn. Obviously, Virginia, Mississippi State doing the bulk of the work here. But Dakota Jordan is the headliner at 33 overall. Obviously, Insane Batsby, Gerangelo, Cincha, guy who could be pushing into the first round. But you got plenty of really quality players like Ethan Anderson, Griff O'Farrell at Virginia, Cal Steven, a right-hander at Mississippi State, Casey Saki, outfielder at Virginia, then Nate Dome. I don't know what his status is. I know he's dealt with injury this year, but he was really good early on. And then Harrison Didowick I would throw in for Virginia as well. So a lot of really quality players, if maybe not the most like first-round types in this regional.
Yeah, definitely. Dome is back, and he's been really effective and out of the bullpen in late inning situations for the Bulldogs. That was huge for them to get him back after a little bit of a scare early on. And you hit on the main ones. Harrison Didowick might be the guy, arguably, outside of maybe Gerangelo Cinte, that I'm most excited about. He might not go the highest, or he won't go the highest of all the guys you talked about, but he's a really intriguing prospect for me. Great body at 6'4", defends well in center field, where covers a lot of ground. Like, it looks like he's just gliding out there. And then the offensive prowess has taken a major step forward. He had 23 home runs this year. He's got a good swing from the left side with bat speed, plus pull side power, I'd say, at the very least a 55. Does a good job getting the ball up in the air with impact. He's a very, very intriguing prospect in my eyes. And then with St. John's and Penn, the guys to keep an eye on, 2025 catcher Jimmy Keenan for St. John's has been excellent all year. And then with Penn, Wyatt Hensler defends well over a third with a plus arm. He has already committed to Texas A&M. This is because at Ivy League schools, you can't do like your grad transfer year like at that particular school. From an athletic standpoint, like, Penn has Wharton, obviously, is the grad program, but you can't stick around and play baseball. So Hensler's already committed to A&M. He's hitting 372 this year. His 22 home runs are a single season Ivy League record. I matched in the plus arm at third. He's a really, really good player. Like, they know what it takes to win in a regional type setting. They went down to Auburn last year and honestly should have won that regional. So I kind of have them pegged as a potential upset team as well.
Awesome. All right. We will keep moving to Santa Barbara. This field features UC Santa Barbara, San Diego, Oregon, Fresno State, little West Coast action here. Probably pretty light on top end prospects in this regional. Number 87, Matt Agier, is the top ranked player. He's not had quite the season we hoped and expected of him. Started out the year as a starter, has been moved into the bullpen, but UC Santa Barbara in general always has plenty of arms to watch. And a few Oregon position players I think are intriguing further down, maybe not the highest profile guys, but Jacob Walsh and Bennett Thompson I think are intriguing. Jacob Walsh, another big physical first baseman, and then Bennett Thompson I think is just a solid player all around, even if he doesn't have the most electric tool set. So those are a couple names to know from this regional for me.
Yeah, the biggest one I have to circle is a 2025, and it's right-hander Tyler Bremner at UC Santa Barbara. Him along with Jamie Arnold, those two are probably the top two arms right now in the 2025 class. There's an argument to be made that either is the top arm there, but with Bremner, it's big time stuff with also advanced strike throwing. Like, he knows how to pitch, which is really, really impressive. Fastball up to 97, 98 with serious riding life through the zone. The shape of it is outstanding, and he supplements it with a plus changeup and what's getting closer and closer to a true plus pitch in his sweeper. Both are legit swing and miss offerings. He's got an advanced feel for both. I think that there is very little reliever risk associated with him, at least at this point. And there is very, very high end starter potential. Like, I think once the 2025 cycle gets rolling, he's someone who could have that like top half, top 20 or so, overall buzz. Like, I think he is that good, and no one's been able to, he hasn't been able to get as much eyes on him as some of these other people, just because of UC Santa Barbara playing out west and they're a little harder to watch. But on a national stage like this, I think people will tune in and be like, whoa, who is this kid? And he's the real deal.
All right, let's move on to Norman. We've got Oklahoma, Duke, UConn, Oral Roberts. Maybe not the most loaded Oklahoma team in recent years in terms of prospect status, but we do have John Spikerman, who I think is just a lot of fun to watch. Speedy center fielder who's having a career offensive year, hitting 386, 450, 446, 566, excuse me. Only 11 stolen bases, not as many as you would expect given his pure speed. And then Jonathan Santucci is the top ranked player in this regional. Me and Peter have talked about him at length, but another pitcher that I think has a chance to kind of cement himself into the first round. He's probably on the bubble of first round really quickly thereafter. But who else you got here?
Yeah, he's trended a little bit backwards this season just due to, like you said, the lack of fastball command has dealt the last few weeks with an injury, but with a strong start in Norman and in a Duke run in the tournament, they're not going to be able to do it unless Santucci returns to that early season form. And if he does so, you know, he could get teams back in on him. So it wouldn't totally shock me if he pitches his way back into the first round. Also on Oklahoma, Braden Davis, left-handed pitcher. I like him. He has the ball really well in his delivery. You know, the stuff isn't super loud, but it's a plus changeup. To get a track record of success between Oklahoma and Sam Houston. And also on Duke, 2026, AJ Gracia, one of the more impressive freshman bats in the country.
His big time is crazy.
Yeah, it's big time hand speed at the plate. Like, his hands just explode through the zone. The open face views of a swinger, really impressive. He's got a good body, he's got arm strength in right field, legit power, and he should only grow into more. So that's my guy to watch. And then also with Oklahoma in 2025, Kyson Witherspoon and Easton Carmichael, right-handed pitcher and catcher respectively. Kyson Witherspoon's got big stuff. Just needs to sell me a little bit on his ability to start at the next level. And then with Carmichael, can really, really swing it. Like, the hit tool is plus. There's some power in there, solid defensive skill set behind the plate. I really, really like him a lot. So those are the main guys I've got my eye on.
Awesome. We got two more to talk through here. College Station, tied for second worst in terms of quantity of players on the BA 500, but actually maybe four players who've got a chance to go on day one of the draft. So I think it's pretty good quality up top in this. The headliner is number 5 overall, Braden Montgomery, outfitter at Texas A&M, who's obviously had a phenomenal season. The Aggies also have Ryan Prager, left-handed pitcher, and then Chris Cortez, a righty, who both have strong seasons, different pitchers entirely in a lot of different ways, but I'm fascinated by both of them. And then with Texas, you've got outfitter first baseman Jared Thomas, who's just a sweet swinging left-handed hitter who can play center, who can play first. And then maybe I'll also mention Jalen Flores, just because he's had such a phenomenal season with Texas, shortstop from the state, draft eligible sophomore, but plenty of quality prospects at the top of this group. I think this will be a fun one.
Yeah, without a doubt. And the guy that I might be most excited to watch, just because I'll get to see him on a big stage and against some really, really quality competition, is Louisiana shortstop Kyle DeBarge. Really exciting set of tools. Track record of performances there went off this year for Louisiana Lafayette. Great athlete, super athletic, explosive operation in the box with some impact to the pull side. Feel for the barrel is there. I like him a lot, and I'm curious to see how he does against the pitching of Texas and potentially A&M.
Yeah, this really might be the shortstop regional if you like those, because even Ali Camarillo at Texas A&M, he's not maybe everyone's flavor. I know you have some skepticism about the overall offensive profile, but at least three shortstops here who could be top 5, 6, 7 rounders.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be a really fun storyline to follow.
All right, and then let's round it out with Lexington, who in terms of quantity is the weakest here in terms of BA 500 for 2024, at least. Maybe you've got some sneaky underclass players to keep an eye on, Peter, I'm not sure. But Ryan Waldschmidt is the headliner at this stage. He's been a massive up arrow. I think he's one of the more prominent up arrow movers on our most recent draft board. Chance that he goes in the first round, which is just crazy. He hits the ball hard. He's strong. He's filled out. He's physical. Great bat of ball metrics. And then defensively for Kentucky, Emilian Petre, he's a guy who probably is not going in the same range in the draft, but it's a lot of fun to watch. Really picks the ball well at second base. I don't often think of like second baseman and get really excited for their defensive ability, but he seems to be one of those players who that certainly fits for.
Yeah, I was gonna say we can just say Ryan Waldschmidt and scene, but no, on a more serious note, like you said, Petre, that's a day two, like a really, I think whoever ends up getting him in the 6th to 10th, 7th to 10th round range, that's going to be a really good pick for him. The field of hit and the hit tool itself is advanced. Like you said, he can pick it over at second. The approach is also advanced. So I like him. Mason Moore is an interesting arm. Travis Smith is an interesting arm. And then a really, really deep pull if you want, like one underclassman who will see the field if you want an intriguing prospect from that standpoint. Cameron Chialoy at Illinois, outfielder, freshman. He's had a solid year for the Fighting Illini and could play his way into a, I don't know, top 10 or so round pick in 26 when he's eligible, potentially even higher, but he's an interesting one.
Yeah, I'll have one more deep pull from Illinois, and that's Jacob Schroeder, catcher. He's old for the class. He'll be 24 on draft day, but he has had back-to-back 14-homer seasons, so maybe he's a name that you'll see drafted as a senior sign type with some pop this year. But, Peter, I think we just made it under the buzzer in terms of the time we needed to get this podcast in, and we've gone through every regional, so congratulations to you, sir.
That was a blast. It was awesome to talk through all 16 of them.
Yeah, so I'm ready to watch these guys. I mean, that based on just talking through all these with you, there is something to watch in every single one of these regionals. It's just a matter of what you're most excited about, the players that maybe you haven't seen that you've heard about that you want to get eyes on, the matchups that you're excited about. So I can't wait to get this thing rolling. Hope you guys have a lot of fun watching the first weekend of the NCAA tournament, and we'll be back here next week to break everything down, see who did what. Anything to plug before we get out of here, Peter?
Really, just everything over on baseballamerica.com is going to tickle your fancy from a draft standpoint and also from a college and tournament standpoint. The release of the newly minted BA 500 is up there. From a tournament perspective, there is really, I'm going to leave something out, but there's legit anything that you want. There's a power ranking of all 64 teams. There are draft prospects to watch. If you want to know what music each coach listens to, that piece is up there. There are upset watch pieces. There's the bracket. Like, anything you could possibly want is up on the site.
Awesome. Well, well said. I can't add any more to that. So thank you guys for hanging out with us. Thanks for listening. For Peter, I'm Carlos. So long, everybody. Enjoy the NCAA tournament.